Well, welcome. Grab your seats, if you will. Thrilled you joined us today. And if you have your Bibles, go to the book of Matthew, which is the beginning of the New Testament, and hang just a little bit of a left. Look for Habakkuk. As Pastor Brady says, you know, if you know where Habakkuk, if you can find that without looking at the table of contents, you're going to heaven. I mean, Habakkuk, the sticky pages of the scripture, right? It's a three-chapter little letter from the minor prophet Habakkuk. And what I'll do is I'll read this text, Habakkuk 1, 5 through 11, and then I'll pray, and we'll jump in. So let's hear the word of the Lord. I want you to begin to just posture your hearts, take a deep breath, settle in. We don't have to work for this as much as we just receive. It's God's word to speak to us. And so hear the word of the Lord from the prophet Habakkuk. It says, "Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians." Everyone say the Babylonians. The bad Babylonians. "That ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people, and they are a law to themselves, and they promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards. They're fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping to devour, these Babylonians. They all come intent on violence, and their hordes advance like a desert wind, and they gather prisoners like sand. They mock kings and they scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. By building earthen ramps, they capture them." And then finally, Habakkuk says, "Then they sweep past like the wind and they go on. Guilty people whose own strength is their God." This is the word of the Lord, and all God's people said, "Thanks be to God." And what the heck? I mean, these Babylonians. Let's pray, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us. We really need to hear from you. In a world that's busy, in a world that's noisy, in a world of cable news, in a world of the 24-hour news cycle, Lord, we need to hear a word from you today that will calm us, that will settle us, that will still our hearts. God, if we don't hear from you, we will have wasted our time, but we are confident that you are the God who speaks. And so we say, may the words of our mouths, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And we pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Today is the first Sunday in Lent. Now, some of you grew up in churches, a high church experience where you know what Lent is. Others of you are like, excuse me? First Sunday in Lent. Lent is the 40-day long period that the church historically has used as a ramp up to Easter Sunday. And it's a time where we examine ourselves, where we repent, where we pray, where it's a time of soul preparation. It's a time very often of fasting, where you give something up and you, fasting is not a way of trying to get God to love us. Fasting is a way of making space for God. It's of being intentionally hungry so that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled by the one that matters. And here we are in this first Sunday in Lent. And it's just the right book to be looking at, because whereas Advent is an arrival of the light of God's salvation, Advent, Christmas time, the light, the little baby in the manger, we understand that Advent is a time of light of God's salvation. The season of Lent is a descent into the darkness of the human experience. Lent is a time where you get to tell the truth. Lent is a time where you get to put all your chips on the table with God. Lent is a time where you open yourself up, and Habakkuk is the exact right guide to start us on our Lenten journey today. There's three movements that I want to put in front of you with three statements from the minor prophet Habakkuk. And so here is movement number one and the first statement from Habakkuk. Movement number one is, "Lord, I'm confused by you." Now, imagine writing a worship song out of that. I could see that being a top 40 song. "Lord, I'm confused by you." Jared Anderson, you know, "Lord, I'm confused by you. Lord, I'm confused by you. Lord, I'm confused by you. How you've punked me. Whoa." You know, like this is what Habakkuk is doing. It doesn't make sense to us. Like, we get uncomfortable. We start looking down at our shoes when the minor prophet says, "Lord, you confuse me." It doesn't make sense to me how you're working in the earth. The people of God had wavered and they had wobbled in their faith and they had been unfaithful. But Josiah, the young king of Israel, rises up and he leads them into a revolution of recovering the word of God, the Torah, and they're fasting and they're praying and they're heading back toward God after long decades of unfaithfulness. But the Lord knew they needed something. The Lord knew that this turn would be short-lived, and so he sends the Babylonians, and the Babylonians come down on these people to destroy them. The people of God are being destroyed by the Babylonians. And Habakkuk, at the beginning of this book, he says, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? And why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me, and there is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails." He goes on to say, "The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted." And finally, in verse 13, he says, "Your eyes are too pure to look on evil, Lord. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate these treacherous Babylonians coming down on us? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves?" Lord, I don't get it. Lord, it doesn't make sense to me. What the heck is going on? Yes, we've wandered off, but you're going to send the Babylonians, who are fully a factor of 10 worse than us? I mean, the wicked, to come bring judgment on us? It doesn't make sense. It's like sending El Chapo, you know, the great drug lord, you know, to take care of the person who got the parking ticket. Like, are you serious, Lord? What are you doing? Lord, it doesn't make sense to me. Lord, I'm confused. Have you ever been confused? The ways of God. Some of you are like, no, he's just been good. He's been faithful. It just always made sense to me. And no, I don't know what you're talking about. Habakkuk and Pastor Daniel. And well, just hang on a little bit. Have you ever been confounded by the work of the Lord? Have you ever failed to understand God? Well, I'll say to you, welcome to the club. Welcome to the Bible. Welcome to the Old Testament. Welcome to the New Testament. Welcome to Jesus Christ saying, "Hey, unless you deny yourself and pick up your cross and come and follow me, you miss out on the kingdom of God." Abraham and Sarah would say, "Yes, Lord, I don't always understand." Moses, minding his business on the backside of the desert in Midian, tending the flock, and God calls him to go back to Pharaoh to tell him, "Let my people go." And Moses is scratching his head. He said, "I'm not a public speaker, and that stuff scares me, and I ran from that old life, and I want nothing to do with it. Lord, I'm confused by what you're doing here." Elijah, Hannah, "Lord, I'm confused." Welcome to the story. You see, most prophets in the Bible speak God's word to us, but Habakkuk speaks our word to God. See the difference? Most prophets, "Thus saith the Lord," you know, from heaven, God is thundering from on high. Habakkuk goes, "Hey God, listen up. I want you to know what we're thinking right now by your work in the earth. Lord, it doesn't always add up to us." My thesis today that I'm working with is that too many Christians are practicing a false politeness in the presence of God. Hallelujah, brother! Glory! Glory! Oh, how are you? I'm blessed and highly favored. I lost my job this week, but everything's just awesome, and God is totally fantastic, and it's always working, and we are Stepford wives in the kingdom of God, you know? False politeness, faux piety, faking it in the presence of God, feeling like there are a certain range of emotions that are off the table when we come into his presence. Too many Christians are practicing a false politeness. But Lent is the church's yearly invitation to practice holy lament. The church's yearly invitation, capital C, globally. The church for 2,000 years has been saying, "All right, come into the presence of the Lord in this time and put it all on the table and name your sins and repent before God and tell him what's bothering you and cry out to the Lord, 'How long, O Lord, and why? And what is going on here? And my God,'" you know, Psalm 22 verse 1 is the very thing that Jesus prayed on the cross as he's breathing his last, "My God, Why have you forsaken me? If Jesus can tell the truth in the presence of God, we can too. Bring your confusion to God. Bring your questions to God. Bring your lament to God. Pastor Brady and I were in the Middle East about 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago. And we were coming back through Europe, and we stopped for 3 days to do some teaching there. And there were 12 pastors from Iran, 12 underground church planters from Iran that had escaped out of Iran. They'd actually been run out of Iran because they were leading the underground church. And they found themselves in this remote location, this little bitty hamlet, 250 people that live in this place in Europe. I'm going to be obscure here to protect them, but they're in this little bitty house, 12 of them, and they're coming for a 7-month training program. Because these are people who were Muslims before who'd gotten saved in a vision of Jesus appearing to them. They're in their homes, a dream at night, and Jesus Christ the Lord shows up and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And they go, absolutely, you are. And they shift their lives, and they start serving Jesus and building the church. But they've never read the Bible. They've never been trained. And so they come to this little bitty hamlet in Europe, and they spend 7 months getting the Bible deep down in them so that they can go back and build the underground church in Iran, which, by the way, is the fastest growing church in the world. So Pastor Brady and I mean, they should have stood up and taught us all day. We felt totally out of our league with these men and women of God who've just paid the price to serve Jesus, but they wanted us to teach them some stuff about the scriptures, and so we were doing that. But at the end of our long day with these people, we knew we had to have a time of prayer. So we blocked about 2 hours, and they were sitting, the tables were in a horseshoe shape, and there were 12 of the men and women around this table, and we went person by person, laying hands on them and anointing them with oil and praying over them, and we start prophesying. You know, when someone really, literally prays, give us this day our daily bread, and they're running for their life to serve Jesus, their faith pulls something out of you. They woke us up that day. They were provoking us. They were showing us what it looks like to be faithful. And so we're going around and we're weeping and we're anointing them with oil and we're praying strength over them and endurance over them. And God, keep them safe and keep their families back home safe. And we're going around and we're prophesying. And I remember the fifth guy right at the corner of where the horseshoe, the table turns. And we're praying over him. And we're just kind of getting started saying, Lord, what are you saying? And as we're laying hands on him, he just all of a sudden in Farsi, you know, he's speaking Farsi, and we've got an interpreter there. He just starts wailing. Why? 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 I mean, just convulsing and shaking. And he must have said why 100 times, and we're just holding him and we're not trying to coach him up. Brother, you're blessed and highly favored and the Lord's gonna deliver you. Shut up. You're standing on holy ground. This man has been through something you could never imagine. And all you do is you just hold space for someone to groan in the presence of the Lord. And he's wailing, why? My God, why? A couple hours later, I was sitting across the table from him at dinner. Translator was there. And he said to me, I feel so much better. After that prayer time where I just wailed and cried out, why? He said, I feel like I got my soul back. I feel like I got my voice back. I feel like I'm myself again. I feel different in my body. I feel different because I finally named it. I put it on the table. I wasn't practicing false politeness in the presence of the Lord. I told the Lord how it felt, and I told the Lord what I thought, and I asked the Lord why he was choosing this plan of leading me forward. It doesn't make sense to me. And after crying why in the presence of the Lord 100 times, he said, I feel different in my body. What happens when we practice holy lament? I think it's just that. We get our voices back. We get our souls back. We get our feelings back. We trust that the entire spectrum of our range of emotions, God wants to actually hear it. As if he doesn't know it, people. Being polite in God's presence and holding, you know, keeping our cards close to our chest, God's going, do you trust me? You know I know that, right? You know I've felt that before. You know my son hung on a cross and cried out, my God, why to me? Like, it's okay. Do you trust me? I remember just a few weeks ago, my emotions had been bottlenecking. All of us in this last year, has it just felt a little weird to you? I feel like we've been living in a year-long Lenten season. And I could feel my emotions sort of bottlenecking and stacking up, and I had the option of being Pastor Daniel Stepford, Pastor Grothy, you know, yeah, blessed and highly favored. Yeah, I can, you need me to dedicate your child? I can do that. You need me to quote a psalm? I can do that. Oh, you need me to, I got some anointing oil right here in my back pocket. You need, you know, blessed and highly favored. But I knew that that was not how I was feeling, and I was trying not to sort of let that out in my house. I was trying to tuck the kids in before it kind of came to bear. And you have an option. Have you ever felt yourself bottlenecking and your emotions are about to blow, and you decide either I'm going to let it blow or I'm going to find a pressure release valve so that I can process this healthily? So I put the kids in bed. Thankfully, I didn't, you know, take it out on them. And then I sat down with Lisa, and I said, can I just tell you how I feel? And I spent an hour saying, here's how it feels, and this is the question that I'm carrying, and I can't understand why God is doing this, and what in the world is going on there, and when will it ever feel like that again? Will it ever feel like that again? And Lisa, God bless her, is just sitting there holding space and embracing it and listening and saying, yes, yes, keep coming. And after an hour, we went to bed, and I was laying in bed, and I said to her, I feel different. I feel back. I got myself back. I can speak again. I've got my emotions back. Brothers and sisters, there's no need to fake it in the presence of the Lord. I want to say this, the pain that goes unnamed resurfaces elsewhere. If you try to stuff it down and keep it together and just blessed and highly favored your way through and Stepford your way through, and at some point it's going to find its way out, usually in an unhealthy way. Pain that goes unnamed will resurface elsewhere. Just because you ignore it doesn't mean it's going away. And so I'll say this again, Lent is the church's yearly invitation to practice holy lament, and I'll ask, will you respond to the invitation? If you do, I believe you'll get your voice back. I believe you'll get your soul back. I believe you'll get your life back. Second statement, movement number two, from the prophet Habakkuk, he says, Lord, I wait for you. This is huge. We live in a secular age where deconstruction is the new spiritual discipline. You know, faith deconstruction, I've got questions, my life is falling apart, and I'm just going to walk away. Deconstruction is like, you know what, just throw, burn the whole house down that I grew up in, the whole spiritual house. When one little domino tips, the whole thing's going to fall, and I'm done, and I'm walking away, and I'm going to find something new. But Habakkuk doesn't do that. He says, Lord, I wait for you. The beginning of chapter 2, he says, I will stand at my watch and I will station myself on the ramparts and I will look to see what he will say to me. I will stand at my watch. When life is falling apart, when I've got questions, way more questions than answers, when I'm concerned about the future, when it feels like God has forsaken me, Habakkuk says, I don't run for the hills and I don't go find a new little trick that I can, you know, manipulate over here. I don't run to idolatry for the cheap comfort. I will stand at my watch and I will station myself on the ramparts and I will look to see what he will say to me. He turns his lament into sort of a leisurely listening. Okay, Lord, I don't know what this is. Certainly doesn't feel good. It makes me angry at times. It makes me scared at times. It makes me feel like indeed you have left me and indeed you have forsaken me. But I know enough about you to just keep standing here. Ephesians 6, and having done all to stand, stand firm. This is what Habakkuk does. He practices Ephesians 6 before Ephesians 6 is written. I think in our age, the moment pain arrives, many of us depart and we start our search to find a God that doesn't require us to carry a cross. In our age, the moment questions arise, many of us look for a God that doesn't require us to wait for answers. And that's what idolatry is taking a cheap shortcut to get quick comfort. Oh, I'll stand up a God for myself, a God that'll make me feel good, a God that'll answer my questions. I'll figure this out. I'm not going to stand at my watch and station myself at the ramparts and wait to see what God the Lord will say. I'm confused and I'm going. But in this age that we live in, we need the word of Habakkuk, that I will stand at my watch. Too many people make permanent decisions in the trial of temporary circumstances. Permanent decisions, temporary circumstances. And Habakkuk knows better. He knows that, you know what, this too shall pass, and this is a moment, and the Babylonians won't always be on the throne because there is one who is on the throne, and it doesn't feel good right now, and actually I hate it right now, and I'm scratching my head at the heavens going, what in the heck are you doing? But I'm not going anywhere. It's a temporary circumstance, and I will not make a permanent decision. I'm standing my ground. I'm setting my face like a flint, and I'll just weather the storm with God. God will give me strength to stand, and I'm not walking away. I'm not looking for a cheap shortcut. I will not stand up and idle for myself. I will listen to what God the Lord will say. Can you say amen today? The name Habakkuk, listen to what his name means. The name Habakkuk means embracer. One who takes the hit, one who carries the questions, one who carries the pain, one who stands in the middle of the ache and doesn't run away when it gets difficult, but one who goes, you know what, God, give me strong shoulders to carry this moment. Give me a strong back to embrace this moment. The name Habakkuk means embracer. I don't know what's going on right now to make any big decisions, so I'm just going to wait. I'm going to hold it. I'm going to carry it. I'm going to travail in prayer. I'm going to tuck away in the prayer closet. I'm going to wait and see what God is going to do here. He stands at his watch, and he stations himself on the ramparts, and he settles in for the long haul. You see, Habakkuk is not unique because he has questions. Welcome to the party. Welcome to being human. Welcome to life. He's not unique because he has questions. He's unique because he's willing to wait for an answer. Habakkuk, I will stand and I'll wait it out and I'll see what God's going to do. Just like Jesus in Gethsemane, he comes to his father hours before he's going to walk up Calvary carrying a cross on his back, and he goes, Father, please, I know you and I've known you my whole, just, I know there's another way. Isn't there another way? Can't you do something else? Can't you pull a little lever over here? Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. I would love to not stand at my station. I would love to not just position myself on the ramparts here. God, if you can do something else, if there's another way, now's the time to speak up. But Jesus says the word that is the pivotal word of all salvation. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. If it takes a cross, your will be done. If it takes nails in my hands and in my feet, your will be done. If it takes a spear in my side, your will be done. If it takes 39 lashes on my back, your will be done. If it takes a crown of thorns jammed into my skull, your will be done. God, if you've got something else, fine, but nevertheless, and I think in our age, our secular age that wants to bolt when it gets difficult, we need to go into the garden with Jesus and learn to pray nevertheless, even when we're sweating drops of blood. Nevertheless, even when there are questions that scare us about the future, nevertheless, even when it looks like we're heading into Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, we learn to pray nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, I'll wait for you, he says. The third thing, the third movement that we find in the book, the prophet Habakkuk, is he says, Lord, I will praise you. Now, the last verse I read to you was chapter 2, verse 1, and now we're down at the end of chapter 3, and so, Lord, I praise you. We must be asking, what happened from chapter 2, verse 1 to 3:17? I'll tell you, nothing. Nothing happened. It didn't get better. It didn't get fixed. His questions didn't get answered. Heaven didn't open over him and pour out blessing that he didn't have room enough to contain. He didn't get a nice letter in the mail from the king of Babylon saying, just kidding. Nothing changed, except he pivoted toward praise. He told the truth. He told the truth. And many of us, like, we want to rush to praise, but you can't rush to praise until you've told the truth. So he told the truth and he put all his chips on the table with the Lord. And then he says, I'm going to stand at my watch and I'm going to station myself at the ramparts and I'll wait to see what God's going to say about this. But even in his waiting, he turns to praise. Lord, I will praise you. Look at the very last verses of the book of Habakkuk. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, and though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Though, yet. Even before all my questions are answered, even before I figure out how this spreadsheet's going to end up in the black, because all I see is red right now, and even though this is happening, and even though that's happening, even though I've lost my friends, and even though following the Father cost me everything, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful. Who is this guy? I will be joyful in God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength, and he makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he enables me to tread on the heights, a deer on the heights. You've seen those deer way up in the heights on the edge of the rock, and they jump from one place to the next, and if a rock slips, they're dead. And he says, look, even though it's treacherous, even though it's difficult, the God that I serve makes my feet like a deer, and I can do the dance on the heights. I can do the dance in the difficult places. I can weather this storm. It's not easy, and it feels like I'm living on the precipice of destruction at any given moment, but God has strengthened me, and he is my helper, and he's given me the feet to do the dance, and I will praise God even though the world is falling apart. And I'll just say it like this. Though lament will mark the journey, the destination is doxology. The destination is glory and worship and praise, and we give you honor and we lift your name on high because you're the God that we've seen you do it. We've seen you do it at different moments, and even though we're stuck in this intractable moment that feels like it'll never resolve, I will praise you, I will praise you, I will praise you, even if it costs me, I will praise you, even if it feels like a cross, I will praise you, even if it leads me into Gethsemane and I'm stuck there for months, I will praise you, even though the dark night of the soul has descended on me and I don't know how the light is ever gonna show again, I will praise you, I will praise you, I will praise you. See, Habakkuk is saying, I don't know what's going on right now, but I know enough about you, God, to know that death and devastation will not have the final word, and chaos and confusion will not have the final word, and poverty and political unrest will not have the final word, and agony and alienation and affliction will not have the final word. I don't know how this is going to get unstuck, but you are the God who raised Jesus from the dead, and if you did that, you're going to do that for me. So I will praise you. I will praise you. I will praise you. I'm a pastor, and very often my job is to show up with people on their very worst days. The hospital visit they never expected. The ambulance ride that they didn't plan that morning when they woke up. The funeral that they never expected to organize and that they don't even have money to pay for. I stand with people in these moments. The marriage that they signed one day and covenanted before God and it's dissolved overnight, totally unexpectedly. And when these moments happen, you actually see what's in people. And I am so pleased to report to you that more often than not, when those moments happen, I've been at funerals that I'm officiating, and the people sitting in the front row, they're the people who don't want to be there because it's costing them the most. And what I see is people fall on their knees as we're singing, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, to me." And they're falling on their knees when they're burying their loved one. Why? Because we know enough about God, having watched Jesus Christ go into Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, and then on the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures, and it hurts like heck right now. And I don't know what in the world is going on right now, but I know enough about this God to begin to praise him even in the questions. Can you say amen? Stand with me today. The band is gonna come, and we're gonna sing a song that's got some teeth to it. This song's got some heft, and this is the right song to sing. What I'm gonna ask you to do is to gather up the very worst thing about your life right now. I'm serious. Gather up the very worst thing, the very worst situation, the very worst relationship, the thing that just taunts you at night when you lay in quiet in your bed and it's just you and the Lord. What's the thing that's messing with your mind that scares you about the future? Would you please begin to gather that up and imagine it being in your hands? You've got it right here. And what we're going to do is we're going to do a little bit of Habakkuk exercise here. And we're going to sing, "I've seen you move. You move the mountains. And I believe I'll see you do it again. We're not acting like it's fixed right now, Sunday morning at 9:58. We're not faking it. La, 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 la. Oh, God is just, we're not faking it. We're gathering up the very worst thing and we're giving it over. That's what I want you to do. Imagine yourself cupping it and then giving it to the Lord as we sing, I've seen you move and you move the mountains and I believe I'll see you do it again. And so right now we say, come Holy Spirit, I want you to begin to pray. I want you to begin to interact with the Lord here and tell him you're giving it over to him. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Tell the truth. Give him the full range of your emotions right now. He wants it. He wants it. He wants it. And so, Lord, I'm praying that as we worship, something would break off of us. I'm praying that as we worship, we'd get our voices back. We'd get our souls back. We'd get our emotions back. We'd get our lives back. Lord, just as you did it for that pastor from Iran, I pray that there'd be moments like that all over this room today. As we tell the truth, Lord, heal us today. So we sing it today. In the presence of the Lord, let's worship God together.
Lord, we come to you today in honesty and truth. We say we trust you, our hope is in you. We wait on you, Lord. We wait on you. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Oh. Waiting for change to come, knowing the for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence.
Fix it.
get your communion elements ready to receive. And I think this is just the perfect response. I've seen you move, Jesus. 2,000 years ago on the night he's betrayed, he sits with his people. And he takes the bread and he breaks it and he says, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Would you just break it there in your hands? Crack that piece of bread, that little styrofoam piece of bread. Crack it in your fingers as a picture of Jesus saying, "I'm entering into it and I've taken care of it. This is my body, which is broken for you." And as often as you do this, Jesus says, "Don't you ever forget it." Don't you ever forget that I've got this taken care of. Don't you ever forget that I entered into it. Don't you ever forget that I'm the God who doesn't shy away from the hard stuff. Don't you ever forget that you can tell the truth in my presence, because I'm about to be shattered so that you can be put back together. Amen. Communion is the right thing to do here. To come into the presence of the Lord and go, "Oh yeah, you've got this. You've got this." So Jesus, we say by faith in advance, before anything changes, we believe that you've got this. And we trust you for the future. We trust you for Easter Sunday morning. We trust you for deliverance. We trust you for healing. We trust you for reconciliation. We trust you to bring justice on the earth. We trust you. Friends, today, by faith, you can receive this broken bread from Jesus Christ. On the night he was betrayed, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant. For all the covenants that have been broken, for all the alienation that you've experienced, this cup is the new covenant between mankind and God himself. And it's given in my blood. It's costing me everything. And it's given for the remission of your sins." We all come to the table of the Lord carrying sin and shame and guilt and fear over the future. We all come with so much baggage. And Jesus says at the table, "Go ahead and give me that. Let me give you this cup. Given for the remission of your sins." Today, friends, by Jesus's work, you have been cleansed. You're made new. You're made whole. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so Jesus, we say, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Blessed be your name, O Lord. Blessed be your name. We praise you today because you're the God who forgives us." You may receive the cup today. Let's sing "I've Seen You Move" one more time. Come on, church.
"I've seen you move. You move the mountains. And I believe. I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. And I believe. I'll see you do it again. I've seen you move. Yeah. You move the mountains. And I believe. I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. And I believe. I'll see you do it again. I've seen you move. You move the mountains. And I believe. I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. And I believe. I'll see you do it again."
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Would you open your hands now? Pronounce the blessing of God over you as you go. And I pray that you would go to your cars feeling different. Like our friend from Iran, I feel different. I've got my voice back. Lord, I pray today for my friends that you would bless them and keep them. That you would make your face to shine upon them and be gracious to them. Lord, I pray that you would lift your bright, smiling countenance upon them today. and that you would grant them peace. And I pray that they would go from here in the boldness of God, in the strength of God, in the favor of God, with the blessing of God at their back. Let the wind of the Spirit push them forward this week. Let everything they touch prosper. That's the promise from your word. And so I pray for the congregation at New Life Church that the boldness and the strength and the blessing and the favor of God would mark us this week. And I pray these things in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Come on, let's give God thanks for what he's done here today. If you're new, go see us. Come see us at the info counter.